The people who manage large tracts of land are always looking for ways to effectively manage that land and the inevitable things like fire that can happen. Sometimes the best new knowledge is, in fact, very old. This is where TEK comes in. Not tech as in technology, but TEK as an acronym for traditional ecological knowledge, which, when you stop and think, makes a lot of sense. People who occupied the land for thousands of years built up a body of knowledge in managing lands and fires, and TEK is one of many subjects on the agenda at the Klamath Fire Ecology Symposium getting underway today in Orleans, California. Two guests join us. Margot Robbins is with the Yurok Tribe Cultural Fire Management Council. Margot, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here.
And Will Harling is with us from the Middle Klamath Watershed Council. Good to hear from you, Will.
Hi, thank you.
So would you, each of us in turn, we'll start with you, Margot, tell us about your agencies, your organizations, what you do.
So I am part of the Cultural Fire Management Council based out of the Yurok Reservation, and we are our goal is to restore fire as a land management tool on the reservation. We had our, actually more than just the reservation, the ancestral territory of the Yurok people. We had our first cultural burn in 2012, and we have been burning ever since. Our first burn was a mere 7 acres, and our largest was 167, and we are moving towards burning thousands of acres at a time.
Margot, how hard was it to get people to go along with the idea of burn? I mean, obviously, if you're starting with 7 acres, you start with a fairly small sample plot, but is there still a lot of resistance to restoring fire as part of the ecosystem?
There is resistance on the agency part because they have been taught to suppress fire. So purposely putting fire on the ground is something that makes them very nervous. Our people have burned for thousands of years, and so we have not had opposition locally. Everybody wants their land burned. Mm-hmm. And so we have an application for people to submit, and then we will plan a burn on their property. So we burn private property and tribal property as well.
Wow, that's amazing. So an application, please burn my land, essentially is what it says?
Yes.
Unusual in today's age, isn't it?
It's definitely a different mind frame.
All right. Will Harling, give us a sketch, if you would, of the Middle Klamath Watershed Council.
Yeah, so MCWC is an NGO that's been here in this tribal landscape for going on 16 years. And really, you know, we take a lot of cues from the Kadook and Yurok tribes and how they manage this landscape and really provide, you know, support for that, you know, from the non-tribal community who's also realized the wisdom and how things have been done in this neck of the woods. And that really was one of the impetus between for us to start the symposium back in 1997. You know, since that time, we've had 5 of them here in Orleans. You know, we bring people from everywhere in, you know, Pacific Northwest out to the middle of nowhere. There's about 109 folks that are out here, you know, finding individual housing and people's homes to be here. But really, you know, the goal, you know, is to bring, you know, all the people we need together in one place that have a stake in restoring fire process in the Klamath Mountains after a century of fire exclusion, because there is this huge need to get good fire back on the ground.
You mentioned the first symposium in 1997, but it's only every 3 years, right?
Yeah, so we had a hiatus until 2008 when we said, hey, we need to bring this back. This needs to be a regular thing that, you know, all these folks, you know, fire scientists, social scientists, the state and federal fire managers, practitioners, NGOs, college students, grade school students, you know, and really importantly, these tribal members who carry on this tradition of fire management and remember through stories and burning with their grandma how fire was put on this landscape.
Is there anything quite like the Klamath Fire Symposium elsewhere in the country, or is it just that rare? I mean, just this one thing every 3 years?
You know, it's the only one I know that's really grassroots organized. I mean, we get some key base funding from the U.S. Fire Learning Network, but really it's local people from this place, you know, realizing that are, you know, what we need to do to restore fire on this landscape is to get all the people together who are going to help us do that. And so it's a huge effort, you know, from a really small community, but it has its own feel. You know, it's a community event, and it really speaks through. And yet at the same time, we're attracting some of the, you know, best fire scientists in the Pacific Northwest. This year we have Paul Hesberg from up in Washington, Pacific Southwest Research Station, and our Pacific Northwest Research Station doing the keynote on tonight, actually, at 7 p.m., and that's open to the public in case anybody wants to jump in their cars and drive down from Ashland. We also have another session, keynote, tomorrow night with Carl Skinner, who is retired from the Pacific Southwest Research Station. You know, two folks that have spent their entire careers working on fire and really forwarded fire science in our neck of the woods. And, you know, just to give you an idea of what a splash our little town has made, we have the director of CAL FIRE flying in on a helicopter probably as we speak and coming to give a special address to the conference here this morning.
And that's Lee Hilton. No, wait, Ken Pimlott?
Yeah, Ken Pimlott. We also have Karuk Department of Natural Resources Director Leif Hillman, and a local ceremonial leader here in Orleans Valley, and as well as Forest Service Region 5 Deputy Regional Forester Barney Guyant. I think they're coming to this place just because they realize that, you know, if it can't work here, it's not going to work anywhere, because we have a community that's ready for it. We've been doing the work for the last, you know, 15, 20 years through our local fire safe councils and other means, and we're ready to get good fire back in this landscape.
Restoring fire to the landscape is the whole purpose of the Klamath Fire Ecology Symposium. We're talking to Will Harling from MCWIC, the Middle Klamath Watershed Council, and Margot Robbins, who's with the Yurok Tribe Cultural Fire Management Council. You can join the discussion on the exchange, ask questions, or make some points about traditional ecology, traditional ecological knowledge, or tech. 800-838-3760 to join by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Will did mention people who remember burning with Grandma. Margot Robbins, was there a chance that some of this knowledge about how to use fire on the land could have been lost? I mean, did it decline so greatly over the years of fire suppression that people didn't really remember how it was done, or was it still maintained in the minds of the people?
Well, the knowledge has been depleted to a great degree. There are some people who still hold that knowledge that burned as young kids with their grandparents. And so we're reclaiming that knowledge from those who still hold it, and we are passing it on to the next generation because this is a generational endeavor. Our culture is a fire-dependent culture. Our food sources are dependent on putting fire on the ground. Yurok people are known for their basket weaving, and our basket materials require fire to be usable. The hazel sticks and the bear grass, they have to be burned before we can use them. Our food sources, acorns, berries, deer, they all benefit from fire, and so it's knowledge that we're not going to allow to go away, because it's crucial for us as Native people to continue the traditions of our people, and fire is one of those traditions.
Is anybody clear on when the term tech, T-E-K, was first coined for traditional ecological knowledge?
I know that Frank Lake, who's a tribal member who also works for the Pacific Southwest Research Station, has just authored a paper that really talks about traditional knowledge, not just in the narrower sense of traditional ecological knowledge, but traditional knowledge in the sense of, you know, land management in all of its forms by tribal people, which includes, you know, ceremonial, spiritual and practical means, you know, for being able to provide all the resources that these tribes have needed to survive in this place, for millennia. millennia.
When did people begin to talk in terms of, hey, you know, the Native Americans really knew what they were doing for thousands of years, and we should maybe consider some of the things that they were doing?
Well, you know, there's been a clear, consistent voice from the tribal community, and as a non-tribal member studying what happened with fire policy, why did we choose fire suppression? If you go back into history, you know, from the very beginning, there was folks like this man, Klamath River Jack, who in 1916, just a mere 5 years after, you know, the Weeks Act and the National Fire Suppression Policy came into effect, just giving this really clear-eyed, dire warning of what was to come. You know, when you densify the forest and manage it for a single species, for timber trees, and you forego all the other dynamic uses of that forest. And really, you know, it's eerie today to read that letter and see that, you know, it, what he predicted has come to pass. And so, you know, that voice, that tribal voice has never gone away. You know, fast forward 50 years and there's a special report, the Cronemiller Report in 1949 that talks about how, you know, what can the federal government do to suppress this incendiary burning along the Klamath River, you know, and I know it's a sense of pride with tribal people here that, you know, they had the highest rate of incendiarism of anywhere in California, you know, but what it really was people trying to manage their landscape for the resources that were, you know, as Margo said, you know, essential to their cultural preservation.
So, Margo, this really gets down to the structure of the forest, too, I would think, that the kind of forest that was appropriate for the landscape and the people who lived there for thousands of years is not necessarily at all like the forest that people expect if they want to get lots of board footage out.
Right, exactly. One of the places that we've been trying to restore are the prairies. They have been reduced down to 5% of what they used to be. Part of it is just for encroachment, and the other part is they actually planted the prairies with trees. And the other forests where the deer would forage is so choked out with brush they can't even get in there to eat. Some of the places that we have burned, we notice that there's deer in there and they're eating, and we see woodpeckers and we hear them tapping on the trees. And so fire has really created a much more habitable place for wildlife, and we're seeing a lot of wildlife return to those places that we've burned.
Margo Robbins is with the Yurok Tribe Cultural Fire Management Council. Will Harling with the Middle Klamath Watershed Council. Will, I notice you're involved in a session about preparing for managed wildfires. What are some of the things that go on before any burning happens?
Well, really, you have to make sure your community is ready for letting wildfires burn again in the backcountry. And that's where it's critical that you know, through our venues like Fire Safe Councils, we bring together all the different stakeholders, from your federal and state fire managers to your local fire departments, NGOs, and tribal governments to, you know, to figure out what are those places, what things do we need to do in order to, you know, tip the scales for whoever's managing that land. In our case, you know, 98% of the landscape is publicly owned, so it's the Forest Service. You know, what do we need to do to get those, you know, fire managers to say, hey, I'm going to let this one burn? And really what it has come down to for us is, you know, creating organizations like the Western Klamath Restoration Partnership, whose single-minded focus is, you know, getting large-scale fuels reduction projects along critical access routes and key ridges, and then using prescribed fire from those places down to the community so that we have good black around our towns so that we can let those fires burn again, because really that's how we're going to get back and restore the fire process in this forest in the time frame that we need. Because right now we're getting our butts kicked. You know, the last 20 years has seen a spate of mega fires in our neck of the woods that, you know, it's almost incomprehensible. In 2014, we had a fire explode on the Salmon River, the White Fire, that created a pyrocumulonimbus cloud that spread lightning all the way into Oregon, you know, 50 miles to the north.
So creating more fires from the plume from that fire.
from the lightning down strikes from the plume of that smoke, it started a fire 50 miles away right in the town of Happy Camp, which ended up burning another 130,000 acres that summer and actually meeting up with the White Fire in the middle of the Marble Mountain. So what we're seeing on the ground today in regards to fire is nothing like we've seen in the past.
Margo Robbins, we've got about a minute left here. I just wonder how well modern technology integrates with tech, if some of the tools that are used now in firefighting and fire mapping, for example, are being used to coordinate with this much older knowledge.
Well, it is really pretty crucial to meeting the needs of our effort because our landscape is in such bad shape that we need to use modern technology. We need to have the trained firefighters and fire engines and all of those things to do burns safely. And we need to map the places that were burning, and we need to compile data to make sure that the results that we're getting are the desired results. So it's pretty crucial to blend the old with the new as we move forward.
Okay, and we certainly learned a new phrase today in good black, having the land around you having been burned already, so you don't have to worry about it burning later on in a more uncontrolled way. We're talking about returning fire to the landscape, which is the whole focus of the Klamath Fire Ecology Symposium getting underway this morning in Orleans, and it happens about every 3 years. Will Harling is with the Middle Klamath Watershed Council, or MCWIC. Margo Robbins is with the Yurok Tribe Cultural Fire Management Council. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, and enjoy the conference.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Thank you.